This week on Track, we are delighted to be joined by one of the most exciting British talents around, Jake Smith. We are talking to Jake less than a week after he ran a marathon debut of 2:11 at the Cheshire Elite Marathon, having originally been in the race scheduled to pace the lead group for 25k. Jake ran the time having run a PB in the 1500 of 3:50.89 just a few days before, and within the midst of a 90 plus mile training week. Jake's previous most well-known recent breakthrough performance came at the World Half Marathon Champs in Gdynia, where he ran 60 minutes and 31 seconds to finish in 18th position and become the third fastest half marathon ever by a British athlete. Jake has also run times of 13:47 for the 5,000 and is hoping to achieve the Olympic 10,000 meter qualifying standard and compete at the Olympic trials in Birmingham June the 5th. At the club level, Jake runs for Cardiff AC and has recently been described as the future of UK distance running. So we're delighted Jake has taken some time out to chat all things running with us. Hi Jake, how are you?
I'm good, thank you. And yourself?
Very good, thank you. I've just seen on your Strava, Jake, you had your first COVID vaccine yesterday.
Yeah, it was quite good because it was one of those things where you could put your name forwards and because they have like a backlog. Yeah. So I like got a call yesterday, like 12, like at midday, and they were like, oh, do you want to come in for 3 o'clock? So like it worked perfectly like during training and stuff because like I'm still like just easy running back from the weekend.
Yeah.
And like I wasn't going to say no to it or anything, but I'm not a massive fan of injections, but yeah, I had to get it done.
You got it done. And no sort of side effects? You were able to get out and run today and things
Yeah. It was just one of those, you feel a bit like a little bit groggy, like at the next day and my arm's hurting a little bit. But apart from that, I'm absolutely fine.
Oh, perfect. Okay. Well, that's good. As I said, we're sort of talking, it's Thursday now. So we're talking sort of 4 days after you running on Sunday at the Cheshire Elite Marathon. We'll sort of get into it in a bit, but sort of how are the legs after your first marathon, and is it just easy running for a few days now?
Yeah, so I gave like you said, I was supposed to stop at 25k, so I think I might still be on like a high almost, and my legs are actually feeling all right. So I had 2 days completely off. Okay. I just like tried to smash recovery and stuff, try to get my fuel back on board, and then I'm just doing easy running for the whole week. But I'm very, you may have seen like on my Strava, I do a lot of cross training as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I try, when I do cross training, I try and like hit a similar heart rate, because at the end of the day, if your heart's working the same almost, you're getting quite a lot of benefit. And coming from like an injury and stuff, I just find the cross training really helps me. So mm-hmm. I'm just doing that until Sunday. And then next week, we're just going to see how my body reacts to something a bit faster. And then we'll just go from there.
Okay. Yeah, I've heard you talk about cross training before, and particularly is it the sort of the elliptical that you like to get on and kind of hurry up?
Yeah, it's quite funny. You should see our garage. We have like a really little small garage. We have like two bikes, a treadmill and an elliptical in there. So it's so good. It's not like the best elliptical in the world or anything, but and it's so boring because you're just in the garage just sweating it out. But I just get it done really. And like I said, whenever I run the next day or anything, I always feel like more recovered because I'm like been pounding the roads and stuff like that. So yeah, it's quite good fun.
Good. So aside from the sort of general soreness, there's no niggles, no injuries from Sunday's event?
Yeah, I hope I'm all right. I might be one of those like this first week, might, because I'm still buzzing with it, and then maybe next week when it like it's all calmed down, I'm like, oh my god, I can't run. But hopefully we're going in a positive way.
Perfect. Okay, well Jake, let's jump straight into it then. So the Cheshire Elite Marathon was on Sunday, as we said. You were there to start off with as a pacemaker, 25k, and I'm thinking sort of 2:11, 2:11:30 pace was the pace you were asked to hit. So I suppose you sort of got rolling and it was going well. Talk us through your sort of mindset, your decision making, and am I right in thinking there was a bit of a conversation between you and James Thee on the sideline as to whether you should continue?
He wasn't there for this one. It was my mum was trying to like act as him.
Almost. Okay.
Yeah. It was a lovely, lovely race, and I thought it was a great event. They like closed off basically the roads and half the road on one side, And I paced with Phil Sussman. We were like smashing out. They had mile markers every mile. So it was quite nice because we were helping the half marathon boys as well. And after the race, we both got some good messages off them saying, oh, thank you so much. We ran this PB and stuff. So it's quite nice to see. In terms of my race, I was like, it's one of those, we got to about 14, 15 miles and Phil and I, we spoke to each other and said, okay, we'll finish this next lap, which will take us to 17. And he was looking good and stuff. And there were actually two guys we were pacing in the marathon. There was Callan Moody and then this other guy, it might have been from Australia, New Zealand. I'm not too sure what his name was, who came third.
Rhys Edwards came third. Yeah.
And he was struggling a little bit. So Phil dropped back to help him for another lap, and which were really good for him. And then I think at like mile 17, I like spoke to Callan and he was looking unreal and stuff. I said, you know what, I'm going to take you one more lap. And then I like looked at the watch. I was like, oh, there is no point stopping now. I'm so close to the time and I'm feeling so good. And yeah, in terms of like having a conversation, my mum was literally like, as soon as the same as James D when I did the trials, pacing the trials, she was just screaming like, you have to stop, you have to stop. And I was just like, no, everyone wants me to finish. So I don't think a lot went through my mind except just hitting the splits and then just look on the watch. And then when, because each lap you kind of had like a general idea of how long it was going to take, and when I went on to that last lap, I was like, I've got this in the bag, I just need to keep going and just hopefully not hit that wall.
Yeah. Oh, great. So obviously, as you said, you were sort of pacing Callum Moody, who came second. And you finished in with sort of gone down as 2:11 dead.
Yeah.
What did James Thee say afterwards when you had a chat with him and he sort of said, James, I sort of ran the whole thing?
I was speaking to one of my mates right before, like as soon as I finished, and my mum, and I was like, I am not turning my 4G on and seeing what he has to message me. I'm not looking at it. I was like, I said to him after, he's like, why would you say that? I was like, I was scared he was going to go in on me. And there was quite a few comments on the live stream from like Aaron Scott, Josh Lund, and Dan Jarvis about, Aaron said one of them was make him do like a hard session Tuesday. And Josh was saying about James Thee's going to lose his head with him and stuff. So it was quite funny. But he was like, I called him after the race and he was like, you're an absolute idiot, but you're a nutter. But I think he is. I think he is happy, but it's just one of those like, because I had like a big session on Tuesday, so I wasn't able to do that. But then it, like the main name is the 10K. So it's just, I just hope hasn't absolutely screwed up my preparation for it. But I guess we'll have to see.
Yeah, so we'll get on to the 10K in a bit. On the Wednesday as well, you had your 1500 meter PB at the Elise Welsh endurance event. So how did that race go? Were you happy with that time?
Yeah, I was really happy. Like, I had Piers Copeland pacing me and he's just come back and, you know, he's like sensational athlete. He's run so quick over all the distances. So he smashed the splits and it's one of those, I haven't done much running at that speed before.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I hadn't even broken 2 minutes of 800. And I think I just did that. Like, I went out, a lot of people may have seen me in races. I love to go out hard and just see what happens. I sort of fell off him with like one lap to go. So he paced till the last lap and I sort of fell off. And then I just lost it all in the last lap. So I was on pace for like 3:46, 3:47, whatever, from going through into the last lap, but I just completely lost it. So it's one of those things, like I was happy because at the end of the day it was a PB, but I didn't realize how much, I completely forgot how much 15s actually hurt. And I'm looking forward to doing another one. But yeah, it was a good starter. And like, it shows like, I know what I need to work on. I need to just work on some of this speed now. So the next few weeks is just going to be me trying to work with some of the 1500 boys in the group. And I'm looking forward to what I'm going to absolutely like pissed on me. I'm going to get beaten up from them.
Back to the marathon time. So obviously 2:11 dead, having obviously not really intended on going all the way, sort of leading from the front the whole time, obviously, because you were there as a pacer. I think I'm right in saying you had maybe one gel, but not a huge amount else. So from like the outside looking in with all those factors, it sounds like there's potential for a lot more there. Do you feel that yourself, that you've got, obviously, I know you said you want to focus on a 10 for a while and shorter stuff, but going forward, you must be confident that there's a sort of a really good marathon time in you.
Yeah, I think I knew from, like, when I first came to uni and I knew I loved doing the longer stuff, I knew the marathon was going to be something I'm looking forward to. I've always known that from, like, the half marathon times and stuff. Yeah, it was one of those things. I think I may not be able to get away with it ever again just to have one gel in the race. But I think I was just like, wasn't thinking. I was just thinking of helping Callan and stuff. I maybe got away with it, but I must say, like, as soon as I got to like 24, 25 miles, I was like, I am starving. I need some water and some food. But yeah, that's the ultimate aim. I think there have been, like, I've spoken to James after, and I'm like, in my big, like, first proper marathon, like, what times I want to go out, and we've thrown out some times through the first half and stuff. So so it's gonna be interesting, and it's just one of those things. I will, when I go up to it, I've seen some of the sessions the boys have done for the marathon boys, and I didn't really realize until after I finished how important the fluids are, because people are taking them on every lap almost. And I was very lucky to get away with it, but I don't know, like, I wouldn't be able to get away with it ever again or anything. So we're just gonna see what it is. And like, I still, because I've seen, like, you've seen, like, the world champs and stuff, like Callum Hawkins is come fourth at the two world champs, which is unreal. It's just one of those things where the Kenyans, like, you've seen when they kick, they just absolutely go. So that's what I'm trying to work on, being young, and then when I go up to step up, I can hopefully, like, go with it or something. So that's the aim.
James Thee sort of later described you in the day as a maverick in his Twitter post, that I'm sure you probably saw it and got loads of comments about it, being a maverick. Do you think that sort of fairly reflects you as an athlete, and sort of what sort of athlete do you think you are to coach? Do you think you're an easy athlete to coach, or a potentially frustrating athlete to coach, or what do you think?
It was one of those things I, like, when he said, I was like, what does that even mean? So I had to ask Kieran, who I live with, and he's like, it's a reference from Top Gun or something. So I had to ask my dad, because that's like a movie from back in the day, I think. So I think it's one of those things. It's like, I think I'm easy. Like, he's helped me since as soon as I came to uni, because I never had, like, a proper coach or anything. So it's been, I've absolutely loved training with him in the group. I think from there, it was just one of those things. I've said to quite a few people, if you were feeling good at mile 16, 17, and you were, like, pacing, like, it's the Olympic time, would you go for it? And I've asked a lot of people, and a lot of them said, like, and most people would say almost yes, because it's like, at the end of the day, it is the Olympic time. Mm-hmm. I would love to say I'm, like, easy to coach. I'm not sure what other people would say, but
So obviously you mentioned it's the Olympic time, or under the Olympic time, and obviously the GB team's been selected after the Kew Gardens trials that you were at and paced that as well. Is there, like, a tiny part of you, I know you want to focus on the 10, that, but is there a tiny part of you that thinks, oh, I wish I was on that team going to Tokyo for the marathon?
Like, the boys who have been selected are, like, you've seen, they are unbelievably how good they are. And, like, fair play to them, because I don't really know how they do the training for it and stuff. That, like, people have asked me that, and I don't think at that time, because that was, like, I know it was only a month before, but I feel in much better shape now than I did back then.
Okay.
So it's just a consequence of, like, when the trials would have been, like, if it would have changed, if it would have been this weekend or something. Yeah, I think it's in the back of my mind. Like, I remember messaging Thee after, he's like, I was like, what would you have done if I'd finished? He was like, I thought you were at one stage, I'd let you, because it's Olympics. So I was like, okay, why didn't you tell me this when you were there? So, you can blame him for me finishing this weekend, because he said I could have finished the other one. But, that I think that's it is a bit of a regret. But at the same time, like, you saw how fast Chris Thompson came through and stuff, and, like, back then, because I was still, like, coming back from injury and stuff, like, you never know, like, I could have blown hard at 20 miles, and we were already working at, like, quite a fast pace and stuff. So I do regret it for, like, because it is the Olympics, but then at the same time, I could not tell you what would have happened.
Of course.
So, yeah.
Okay. So what did you think of when you saw Chris Thompson sort of steaming along that finish straight and celebrating? Was it pretty special to see?
That's one thing I was saying to people. I was like, imagine if me, like this 22-year-old, like took that away. Like, you've seen how like happy he was, and it's gone viral. Everyone was like so happy. It's made people want to run. And I was like to my parents, imagine if I'd like actually won it. I would have taken that hole away, and I would have hated myself for it. But it was amazing. Like, I think it's got like the whole, like, hopefully got a lot more people running from British Athletics, and it just see how much it meant to him. Because I guess like he had a kid on the Monday, and he's had struggled like quite a lot. And he's like one of the nicest guys in British Athletics like I've ever met. Like, when I remember doing big half against him, and he literally, as soon as the race finished, he just came over and spoke to me about it. I never knew who he was. He didn't know who I was or anything. He didn't have to do it, but he just actually took his time out to speak to anyone. So it's like, he deserves it the most. So I'm hoping I'll be cheering him on so much when he races there.
I'm sure. That was quite a podium, by the way, on the big half. Chris Thompson and Bekele. That must have been a pretty cool experience.
Yeah, it was amazing. Because I think you may like Chris Thompson, he talks and talks, so he makes the whole atmosphere quite a laugh, really. So
okay.
I don't know, because I tried to talk with Bekele, but I don't think his English is too good. So I wonder what they would have spoken about.
I've seen you say somewhere that Bekele was quite a, or is quite a sort of an athlete that you look up to.
Oh, I think he's my favorite ever athlete. Just the, like, the range he has and stuff. And he just, I love the way he runs. Like, he just puts everything out there, which I want to be able to do. So yeah, I think it was that's a big thing, because it was like my hero back like then, and I was like, it was share a podium with him. So that was one day I will like never forget, really.
Going back to the Olympic trials race, just generally speaking, do you think a trials race, like going forward for the next Olympics, is something you'd like to see, or do you like the idea of selecting a team based upon the sort of the 4 years or the 2 years leading up to the Olympics?
I thought it was amazing. I saw some comment, because you know they do the night of 10Ks. Someone said, do on a lap course with, like, there's a beer tent and stuff for spectators. I think if there were spectators there, it would have been one of the best events in the world. And I'm very much for, if you want to go to like a champs, I'm very much for, you have to be at the trial, like be at the trials. And because, like, at the end of the day, it's like, it's almost like football and rugby. If you want to get scouted, or if you want to play for a club, you have to be at the trials. They're not going to pick you if you don't go to the trials. So I think it's so good. Like, Callum Hawkins had to come to show fitness, and he came and stuff. I feel like the person I feel so bad for was Charlotte Purdue, because I heard she had like a proper note about it and all. And like, you've seen the time she's run. She's an incredible athlete. But yeah, I'm very much for like going to the trials. So I think in 4 years, if they could get like a beer tent around a lap course, I think I would make another marathon. I'll do another marathon there if that was the case.
Okay, sounds good.
But yeah, I think it's great, great, great idea.
Cool. Just last thing before we move on to the 10,000. So you obviously paced at the Olympic trials race, you paced at the London Marathon on that sort of wet and windy day.
Yes.
And you're obviously on the line on Sunday to be a pacer. Is that a thing yourself and James Thee do deliberately as either like a part of a session, or to get the feel of race day, or to practice? Is it, what's the thinking behind that?
I think like for London, it was like 2 or 3 weeks before World Half, and I knew I needed one more long tempo in there.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I looked at my heart rate after the races and stuff, and I knew I was in tempo zone, and I felt so comfortable. And the same with like Kew Gardens, it was just like a sharpener, get on a start line, because we haven't raced for a while. And I just wanted to see where my fitness was at, because I was struggling with an Achilles injury for 3 months. So to know that I was now doing, I was already in that shape after only a couple of months of training, was like a really, really good sign. And I think part of me was like, OK, Okay, so this is the third marathon I'm pacing. I want to finish this one now. But I think I absolutely love it. And I love helping some of the, like, love helping people out to run quite fast times and stuff. And I'm more than happy to do more of it. And it's quite cool because, like, I think I've made, like, so much out of it. Like, I got to share a hotel with, you look at the likes of Kaylee, Kipchoge, and then at the Olympic trials, again, I was up against, like, there was a photo of, like, the best, like, British marathon runners in history on the start line. And then on the weekend, just to be part of one of, like, the first big events since, like, COVID, since the lockdown. So each marathon almost has a word for it. So I absolutely love it.
Yeah, great. And I suppose going forward, when you are racing those big events,
yes,
you would have been in and around them for quite a while by that point, seeing what it's like in the build up and mingling with the athletes and all the rest of it.
Yeah, there's quite a few, like, marathons you just, like, I'm looking at. I'm like, okay, not just yet, in the future, I want to do this one, I'll do this one. So, yeah.
What? Go on, give us one. What's the one on the bucket list that you'd love to do?
I think London has to be the one. I said to Adam, the physio who works for Shabokes, I said to him, you know what's going to happen. The next marathon I go off, whoever goes off, I'm going with it. It could be Kipchoge, I'm going with the front group because that's how I like to race. And I'll probably blow up, but I mean, it would be quite a good laugh. And then there's, like, the likes of, like, Boston, New York. It's always quite nice because now I've got the time. There is potential, like, dependent on the 10K, about the world champs next year. And because I've only been to America once when I was, like, a one-year-old kid or something, but to, like, race in, it's like Oregon, isn't it, or Eugene, I would absolutely love that.
Yeah, that'd be great. Sort of, have you seen the new stadium they've got over there?
Yeah.
Yeah, amazing.
Looks all right.
You've mentioned Kipchoge and Bekele a couple of times, so I just sort of, whilst we're on it, do you think we'll ever see that big matchup, or do you think it's sort of...
There was, like, talk about, like, you know, the London Marathon being one of the last times, and then the Olympics, and Bekele, I think he's just pulled out or something. It has to be done. Like, it's one of those, because I mean, they're both part of NN running, so you almost want it to happen because how close Bekele was to Kipchoge's record. And I think that was, like, I know Kipchoge's run disgusting times and won all those majors, but I think that would almost say, if they race together, like, who is the best marathon runner in the world. So I hope NN running put on an event for them too.
Yeah. So do I. That'd be good to see. Okay, Jake, let's move over to the 10,000. So for those who are listening, you said that you're going to go for the 10,000 meter trials in Birmingham June the 5th. Am I right in saying that? Yep. So, and also in a recent Instagram post, you said that these next 6 weeks might be the stupidest thing I ever do, but everyone loves a gamble and it might pay off and it'd be a cool story if it does. So just a bit of context. As we understand it, at the trials race, to be selected for the Olympics, you have to have the qualifying standard time, which is 27:28, and you have to finish in the top two at the trials. So obviously there's a couple of lads with the target time already, so Mark Scott and Sam Atkin has it. Also thinking that Mo Farah might be at the trials as well potentially. So what are your thoughts, sort of sitting 6 weeks out ahead of that race? How are you going to approach it? What's your head at?
I think the best thing about, like, doing the marathon is I didn't realize how, like, aerobically strong I am. So, like, sessions, and now I spoke to James after and I said sessions are going to probably change into more, like, speed work, because, like, before the marathon, I was doing a lot of speed work, and I felt when I went into that race, the pace just felt so, like, so easy and so slow because I'd been working at much faster paces. So it's going to be, like, a lot of K reps and stuff like that. A few races, potentially, like a couple beforehand. But yeah, it's just going to be focusing on getting my legs turning over, because I'm never going to win a race on the last lap or anything. So I just need to make sure, like, 2:44, 2:45 per K, 65 seconds per lap feel easy. So it's just going to be in every session, making sure I don't work any slower than that on the track, just working faster than that. In terms of, like the athletes, like, you look at Mark Scott and Sam Atkin, like, they've run incredible times over the event, and, like, just to get into that team would be, like, it's a big ask. But I've said to people, like, at the end of the day, if I run the Olympic time and don't get into the team, of course it'll be gutting, but, like, I've done all I can almost. Mm-hmm. Like, I couldn't have done anything else. So And I think to get like two Olympic times in the space of 6 weeks, with one being a marathon, I'd be absolutely like amazed for. But yeah, so in terms of like sessions, it's just going to be like, I'm working with Piers Copeland next Tuesday for, I'm joining in with one of his sessions. So it's just going to be focused on speed for now. And then like I have a couple of big target sessions, which I'll compare to when I did them before the World Half. Okay. And then to just to see how I'm feeling, and then we just go all in really for the 10K.
Okay, so just based quickly on one of those target sessions, I've heard you talk about a 10-mile session before, K on, K off. Is that going to be one of them?
Yeah, that's one of them. Okay. So I did before World Half, and I ran 47.06 on the track for 10. Like, Fee made me to run, like, I did 10 miles, ran to whatever, it's like 16.1K, and I averaged 2:45s for the ons and 3:05s for the offs. So Thee's already said to me, we want like a 46:40 or sub 47. So I think I'm going to try and hit like 2:42, 2:43 for the ons and about 3:02, 3:03 for the offs.
Okay.
And then there's one more I'll probably do, is 12 by K off a minute. And I did this last year with Kieran pacing me, and I averaged 2:43 for 12 of them. So it's just, I'm just going to be doing the same sessions and trying to beat the times from last year. Because, I mean, when I ran those times, I then ran 28 flat, just a time trial on the track anyway. So it's just going to be working at the paces and just trying to beat my times. I'm just going to imagine myself from like last year just running in front of me. I'm like, I'm going to get in front of you. So it should be good to see.
Those sort of target sessions, Jake, do you approach those? Do you almost taper down for them? Is it in the middle of a training week as normal? How do you approach those normally?
So I normally follow like a same schedule most weeks, with like a progression on a Monday, a Thursday steady. And the steadies, like, they have been getting quite quick, to like, dependent on how far into the block we are, how fit I'm feeling. And like for those two sessions, I won't do like a steady or a progression the day before, just easy running. And it's one of those, I will constantly think about it for like 2 days, just playing music in my head. Very long naps and stuff, just getting in the moods, like psyching myself up. And yeah, so I'm on like that start line, just like moving up and down. So so those two are going to be the big sessions I'm really going to go for before the 10K, and they will really show me what shape I'm in. And then we'll just have to see. But it's just quite funny, like for like a session like on a Friday, I'll go for my morning run, use the Normatec recovery boots, and I just do not move until I go to the track.
Yeah, give yourself every chance of being what's your go-to music to listen to before a big session or a big run?
For some reason, I'm enjoying Dua Lipa at the minute, so a lot of people like, yeah, I'll put it out there. And then I do love like a bit of Eminem and stuff like that, so yeah, Dua Lipa fan, I guess.
Sounds good. So going back to the trials race, Jake, so obviously you don't need to do, as you know, the time and the place at the trials race. So is there any part of you that's thinking, I might try and get the time before the trials race and then just finish top two? Or is it all or nothing on that day, do you think?
Oh, it's going to be all or nothing, because I think, especially now, because I've done like the marathon, like if I was going to do a 10K, I would want it to be like at like a minimum of like two weeks out from the trials, just to give my legs recovery. But I think because it's part of the European club championships and stuff, I'm hoping they'll have paces, and I'm even hoping they'll have the lights, yeah, in the middle. But I'm not like 100% sure if they will, but they had them at Highgate, and I'm like just really, really hoping so I can just stick to it. And there'll be a lot of people coming over from Europe and like really going for the time. So I'm just going to throw it all out there. And I think to have that, to know that in mind, I'm just going to be, yeah, you probably won't want to speak to me the day before the day of the race, because I'll just be in a different world really. But that's like all or nothing really that day.
Fine. It's an interesting mix, isn't it? When there's people in the race who already have the time and only have to finish top two.
Yes.
Versus athletes who need both.
Yeah.
So, I mean, looking ahead, do you foresee that you might have to take up a lot of the work if people like Mark Scott and Sam Atkin already have the time?
Yeah.
So they might not be, you know, keen to be on the front, hitting out those 65-second laps?
Yeah, I can just go, like, you've seen Mark Scott, he's run 3:36, 1500. He has a lethal kick, whatever. If Mo Farah does do it, I think he has to run the time. But I mean, he could literally do it all on the last lap if he wanted to. So I love to front run anyway. And like, if a pacer could get me to 5-6K, I will just work as hard as I can the last few K anyway. And I think that's what really helps, like, pacing these marathons, because I've done like 2 hours, 11 minutes by myself at the front. So like, I'm just going to churn it off and stuff. And I mean, if they did have the lights, I mean, I'm just going to like focus, like keep looking down and focus on that. So it's just going to be, I'm hoping some guys coming over from Europe will also really go for it. So then we can just work together and stuff. But yeah, I would happily take the lead if I have to. I'm just going to work as hard as I can.
Sounds good. Going back to your 28 minute track time trial, did you know, I'm sure you do know, on Strava it's been flagged as a potentially dodgy activity?
I think it was one of the boys I trained with. He said it was a bike. Surely this is a bike. Well, I'm hoping it was him. Otherwise, I don't know who did it.
It's quite funny when I saw that today. You've run so fast, it's been flagged. Okay, that's great. Thanks, mate. So it'd be a shame not to talk about the Gdynia race very quickly. I know you've probably spoken about this loads by now, but it was a huge, obviously, breakthrough performance. As we said at the start, you ran 60:31, broke your own British under 23 record, third on the all-time half marathon list behind Callum Hawkins and Mo Farah. And you went through 10K in 28:23, I think.
Yeah, it was like that.
So, I mean, looking back now, when there's a bit of time between, it was October, wasn't it? And we saw those scenes of you tearing up along the finish line and cuddling Seb Coe in the finish and all that sort of stuff. What are your sort of lasting memories from that day?
I think it was mad. I loved the team that came with us was incredible. And it was one of those I said to James Fawn, I said, I'm just, whoever takes it out, I'm going with it. And I just, like, I never run that fast over 10K on the road or anything. I did think, because I ran like 10K on the track in 28 flat, because I knew what that would feel like. So I was like, if they don't go faster than this, I'm going to be fine, because I've done it before. And it was unreal. Like, I remember going through the first 5K and then the next 5K and it got quicker. And I was like, how am I still here? Like, I'm still feeling all right. And I was questioning, I was like, should I run to the front to get a bit more TV coverage and stuff? I think if I hit that point at that point, I think they would have all gone, see me there just running along. But I thought, like, some people have said about the course not like being the fastest because it was up and down, but where I live, I do a lot of, like, I have a history of mountain running and stuff. I do so many, I love hilly runs. Like, when I do my easy runs, I always go up the hills and stuff. Mm-hmm. And that's why I absolutely love, because I'm quite strong in the hills and I just use the downhills nicely. But I was really lucky to be part of a group. It was only on the last lap I like didn't really have a group and I got grabbed, but like, again, I just put my head down and just focus on the next athlete and stuff. But yeah, that is probably my best ever day of my life, that day. And crossing that line, I honestly try to keep it in, but I was like, I'm gonna cry. But yeah, it was amazing. And then at the end, it was quite a nice photo we got with the team and Chep's guy. So yeah, that was really nice.
Very cool. Yeah. Well, it's great to see, we always comment on it, it's great to see such emotion from runners when they do achieve something so special. So keep the crying going, I say.
hopefully when I do a 10K, I'm not crying for like DNF or something. Hopefully it's a good cry.
Well, I was going to ask you, actually, have you had any like complete shockers of races? I know we always talk about the great races, but you had any like shockers?
I think it was when I used to, before I went to university and stuff, when I went to one of the first schools in England, I actually had a food eating disorder and I'd see people for it. Okay. And I went into some cross country races and they would be at 2 p.m. and I wouldn't eat before it or anything. And I remember one time my dad went absolutely mental at me because he was trying to make sure I was like eating and stuff, and I didn't eat and I pulled out of the race. Right. So I think from there it's like that was hard because I wasn't having a very good time at the school and stuff. And I'd see some people about my food disorder and stuff. So back then I had a lot of races, which I didn't finish for that reason. And I actually had two stress fractures as a consequence as well. In terms of like coming to uni, like I've had some like good races and stuff. I think it's one of those like Bucks Cross and stuff. I absolutely loved, but again, I'm not a massive fan of the mud, and when I just absolutely like, oh, I hate it. yeah, apart from that, I don't have a shop on the 5th of June, but we'll have to see.
You won't. I'm sure you won't. Jake, let me just quickly run through some of these PBs just to give some of our listeners a bit of context. I know we've mentioned quite a few of them already. So these are taken from Power of 10 and various other places. So we've obviously got the 1500 from last week, the 350.89. 3000 we got at 806 in 2019.
Yes.
Yeah, 5013.47 at the British Champs last year. On the road 5K, I got 14.23. Is it at Yeovilton?
Yes. So it was just a local race by me.
Yeah, okay, great. Now 10,000 meters, we've obviously got the time trial on the track. We got the fast 10K during the half marathon. But in terms of your actual PB, am I right in saying it's 29.01 at the under 23 champs?
Yeah, so it's quite funny. Like, oh, that is my PB, but I've done quite a few races and actually quite a few, like a couple of sessions have even gone under that. So yeah, so I need to rewrite that, I guess.
I need revision for sure. Half marathon, obviously, we've spoken about, and the marathon we've spoken about as well. So 60.31 for the half and 2.11 for the full. You might have answered it already, but which of those sort of stands out as the one you're most proud of? Is it the half still?
Oh, without a doubt. Without a doubt, the half. I think it's just one of those things, like you said, it's like third fastest in British history, but at the same time, I'm like, I just want to break 60 now. That's why I want to focus on like this track season, because I just want to run a bit fast over like the 5K, over the 15. So I'm looking forward to it all.
Perfect. About your training, Jake, and obviously working with James Thee, you've sort of mentioned that you follow a typical training week most weeks, and you're normally at around the 90-100 miles a week with some cross training as well. In terms of the sessions, do you work alongside James to think about the sessions, or is it very much a case of he tells you what sessions to do and you do them? How what does that relationship look like?
So about 2 weeks ago, he sent me like a 12-week training schedule, and he wrote in sessions, and it's literally I will follow the sessions, and then if I think, oh, this session could be slightly different, I'll talk to him, and he's so nice about it and stuff, and we will have chat every, like, almost every day we speak about like how like run went and stuff. So he's almost like a second dad to me almost, so it's really good. And we will just talk about like the sessions, and he's so nice because he lets me have some input into it. If one of like next Tuesday, I said to him, oh, Piers is doing this session, would I be able to join in with him? And he said, yeah, that's absolutely fine. We'll use that as a start, like a first session back from the marathon, and see how we go from there. Mm-hmm. So it's so good to train with him. And like you've seen the group we have down here, you have the guys from who've gone to world champs, Commonwealths. So it's amazing just training with the group. And I am like, it is quite nice when like sessions go to plan, and James is actually now pacing me in some sessions as well. So it's quite a cute relationship we have, and yeah, it's going quite well. And I think after the 10K, like whatever happens with it, I think we're going to have an 800 meter race. So okay, that could be quite interesting.
Very good. Yeah, sounds good. And you said you got quite a good team down there. You're sort of, and you said before going to that group, you never really trained in a group much. It was mostly solo, and obviously you represented, as you said, GB at the Junior Mountain race, but this is the sort of first real group you've really you've trained with.
Yeah, so I used to train with Exeter Harriers. So my coach back then was called Brian O'Hare, so I did a lot of sessions with Finn McClure, because he was on it last week, wasn't he? Me and him were quite close, and yeah, he was like smash me in the short stuff, and So yeah, I trained with him quite a lot and Exeter Harriers, and I love the group down there. It's like they cater for all ages. Like you see, like Joe Pavey used to train with them and stuff. And apart from them, I was very much into triathlon back in the day. So it was like this local club called NI Tri Club. And yeah, I didn't have like, apart from Brian O'Hare, I didn't have like a proper coach for each week. And it got to a stage where I was trying to do more training the next day. So like on a Monday, on a Tuesday, I'll do just stupid things. And but that's how I thought I'd get better. And but then I also have like this local run club back home called Axe Valley Runners. And like seeing my results now, they've given me like an eternity membership. So I thank them. I don't need to spend like a tenner each year to pay for the club. I think they want me to wear the vest in a race. So I might have to do that for them. But yeah, so I used to like before university on a Monday night, just go out and run with all these old men and old women over the hills and stuff. Some of the hardest runs I used to do because they absolutely love just churning up through the dark on these hills, going through cows and stuff. So yeah, so I think that might make me quite strong as well. But
what the club running.
Yeah, I absolutely loved it. It's a great group down there, and like on Twitter and stuff, they're absolutely lovely to me and stuff. So yeah, but oh, some of the stuff we did, it was just horrible. But yeah, but apart from that, I was just doing stupid things. I would do like four or five different things a day, and like I said, I got two stress fractures from it. Mm. And so to come into university and like when like on a Wednesday is like my easy day and I swam in the evening, James was like, well, you're not swimming anymore, you need recovery. So he literally told me, we're taking all the cycling back, we're taking all the swimming back, you're focusing on the running. And I think it's paid off quite well so far.
So one of the main things he did early on was to actually hold you back rather than
100%. He took down my mileage and said we need you ready in a few years, because I was like, when I was at school and stuff, I never made an English school's track. I was like 30 seconds off the 3K time. I went to England, the cross country for Devon a couple of times, but I was never very good as a junior. And so when I speak to quite a lot of juniors, I'm like, just enjoy the sport when you're young and stuff. Because like the seniors is where you just want to keep building and building until the senior age group. So yeah, he held me back. And I think that was a perfect thing, because I think I was going on to doing too much again and I could have got injured. Mm-hmm. And I've just been quite consistent. I only had that injury this year, but apart from that, I've just been churning out each year and it's worked quite well.
Yeah, well, hopefully that continues. Just thinking back to your early days, we always like to have a look at what our guest's first entry into Power of 10 was, and yours was a park run in 2012 as an under 15 at Wickham Rye, and you ran 20 minutes 25 seconds.
Yeah, I thought that was so good back then, and then I've seen some of the times now, I was like, bloody hell, I didn't know I wasn't that good.
So was that just a case of going along with your family or friends and just doing it, enjoying?
So because I was living in Hong Kong still at the time, so we came back for summer and I just went with the family and stuff, and I absolutely loved it. But back then I was focusing more on football, rugby, hockey. Like I loved playing all those sports. And then when I first came back to England, I went from it like a rugby trial, and I was like, I think I started for 30 minutes. And I was like, I'm not doing this anymore. They are too big. So I think that helped me get into the running mood. But that was quite funny that day, that race. Well, park run.
Yeah, very good. So listen, Jake, I'm cautious not to take up too much of your time. I wanted to talk about sponsorship. I know you've spoken about this before as well, and I've heard you talk about your agreement with sportshoes.com and how they allow you to get the latest gear, but that you don't actually have a full-term funding sponsorship deal. I suppose the sports shoes is still working out for you, and B, sort of looking ahead, I know you're studying at MSc at the moment and in strength and conditioning, but once that's up, I assume you're hoping to be a full-time athlete with a decent sponsorship deal and all the rest of it.
Yeah, SportsShoes, they got in contact me because I know the guy called Ben, he actually did some mountain running with me when I went to in 2016. He was part of the senior group, and he got in contact with me and Sam Harrison, And we were like, I think the first two guys who like took it on in the running world anyway. And he's been unreal with me. He's like, I absolutely love it. Like, I've spoken to a lot of people and I've like tried all the different brands and stuff. And I found like the perfect shoes for like long runs, perfect shoes for recovery runs. And yeah, it's really helped. Like, I know you're not really supposed to change shoes and stuff, but in terms of like coming back from Achilles injury, I found like the best shoe to go for like an easy run just to save my Achilles. And I absolutely love my like partnership with them, and I wouldn't change it for the world or anything, because they were like, they came to me almost when I was like running quite well. Whereas like some brands at times will only take people when they have like a standout performance. And so I do thank them for like bringing me along. But yeah, it will be going into like a full-time professional, but I'm enjoying using like the bank of my mum and dad at the minute. So, So I mean, if I can like carry on that for a few more years, I think they're getting a bit annoyed at the minute, but.
Very good. And how's the MSc and SNC going?
Yeah, it's going really well. It's actually the first term this year, where actually, first term now, where we're actually allowed to go into university because everything was online. And I mean, I'm absolutely loving it. It's one of those things. I love like helping people out, and I've always enjoyed strength conditioning. And like when the running is over and stuff, I've always wanted to like get involved helping people in like a gym environment, even like maybe helping out like teams and stuff. Like you see some people working for football teams as strength conditioning coaches. So that's like something to look forward to as well, because there's a lot of runners who might not really know what to do after their careers. So I'm so glad I'm still in university, so I actually have something to fall back on in the future.
Yeah, very good. And S&C yourself, for your own training, are you squatting and deadlifting and everything else as part of your training?
I'd love to say I'm not the best, I'm not the strongest, I'll tell you that. But yeah, I think that's really, really helped me actually, because when I first came to Cardiff, I was like, when I was at college, I remember I would do like join the football and rugby boys, and I was just doing bloody bicep exercises, chest press the whole time, because I didn't know what I had to do. So I think I was trying to get like bulk up when I was trying to be a runner. So like I remember Matt Powell's, he was like linked because he's been at Cardiff Met, he took us through strength conditioning courses and stuff, and he has been like, we followed the same program, and I do like, it could be 3-4 minutes of drills twice a week, just going on your toes, on your heels and stuff, and they've absolutely helped my like feet and stuff so much. So it's like, it's so mad how like the simple things can help so well. It's a lot more nicer to do strength conditioning like in the sun when it's in the summer, instead of like in the winter when it's freezing. But yeah, I try and do it twice a week, and yeah, it seems like it's working quite well.
Yeah, perfect. Great. All right, Jake, thank you. What we like to do is where we like to finish off with a few quick fire questions. Yes. Nothing too serious. So just a couple to get through. So first one, your sporting hero, running or otherwise?
I mean, running would be Kaeling without a doubt. And rugby would be Johnny Wilkinson. I think I named my cat after him when I was about 8 years old. So yeah, he's a hero.
Are you too young to remember the World Cup win?
I've watched that on replay. Like my dad bought me the whole video and stuff. I've watched the highlights of everything. So yeah, I think I was 5 at the time, but yeah, I've watched it quite a few times since then.
Very good. So might link into this. If you could go back in time to witness any sporting event, which one would you choose?
Well, that's a good question, actually. Yeah. It would have to be like the Phelps in the swimming, I think was insane. Yeah, Phelps in the swimming, I think. Like, I would love to go, just to be there every day almost would be unthinkable.
Winning a gold medal every day.
Yeah, exactly. Just to be part of that atmosphere. I know I'm not like American or anything, but yeah, and then probably actually the you have to go back to 1966 Football World Cup just to see England beat whichever Germany they were called. But
if you could be an elite athlete in a different sport to running, which sport would you choose?
Yeah, I know this. Tennis. I absolutely love tennis, and I think like there's a lot of, I respect them so much. And then you look at, I would love to do the Tour de France of that, and then like the generic one, football.
Yeah. Okay. So is the Tour de France something you watch every year?
Oh yeah, without a doubt. I was saying to Kieran the other day, I was like, I would love to be, you know, there's a lot of guys who go, they do this each stage like just before the race. I want to do that. I just want to get involved and like stay on a mountain with all the French fans and just scream abuse at the cyclists.
A TV recommendation. Anything you're watching on TV which you think is worth a shout out?
Oh, I love The Bodyguard on iPlayer. My girlfriend's got me into Fleabag on iPlayer, so we've watched that. That's quite funny. And then Lost and Prison Break. I love those two.
Okay.
Yeah.
Have you seen all of Lost?
Yes, I was so annoyed at the end.
That's the
It
first
let it
one.
down.
Yeah. Okay. And finally, the most important question of them all, when you're laying out your race kit the night before, are you going for split shorts or half tights?
Oh, split shorts.
Every
Split
time.
shorts any day.
Perfect. Jake, listen, thanks very much. Thanks so much for giving us some time, and we wish you all the best for the future,
Cheers.
particularly for the 10,000 trials we'll be watching with great interest.
Wow. Thank you.
Thanks very much, Jake.
Thank you.